we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Oh, it's just a little over a week away now. I think it's a week from tomorrow that kids start back to school. So we're going to be having a back-to-school bash tonight at Merritt Assembly of God. Going to be having a lot of exciting things going on for the kids and blessing them as they prepare to go back to school. And so if you've got kids in the central Brevard County area, in the Merritt Island area, come on out. They're going to be having a great time tonight. And they're going to be hearing the word of God. They're going to be getting blessed. And we're very excited about the direction our kids ministry is headed. And so we look forward to seeing you. I'll be teaching the adult Bible study tonight, and as well as preaching on Sunday morning. So adult supper starts at 7, and come on out and join us as we look at becoming better bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be doing. I want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are having a problem with your air conditioner, that's no fun. And, you know, this time of year, it's not uncommon to find the temperature getting close to, you know, the mid-90s to 100, and the heat index being in the over 100. And I don't care how good the sea breeze is. I don't care how much shade there is. You need to find a cool spot. Last week, we came back from dropping our kids off at camp, had to get out at a gas station down in Melbourne and fill up with gas. And after having been in the air conditioning, I opened that door and I felt like I took a step right into an oven. It was just a rude awakening. It was a culture shock. And so if you are living that reality right now, I encourage you to make a good investment in yourself and in your family, and that is to get your AC up and running. 321-759-3284 will get you to Bill Andriak, and he can come out and get your system up and working and give you the best and the most economical process to get you and your family cool and safe during this intense heat of this time of year. So that is who is helping us to bring this word to you today. We were going to go back to John 16. Yesterday we were talking about the joy of bringing life. And so we're going to go back. I didn't get through all of that yesterday, so I'm going to go back and begin reading at verse number 16, read it down to verse number 28, and see if we can't finish up this passage that we were talking about from yesterday. Jesus said, "A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. By the way, let me just read verse number 29. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." So, as we talked about on yesterday's program, this passage begins with the disciples' lack of understanding of what Jesus is saying. And by the time he gets done communicating in verse number 28, the disciples said, "Now we get it. Now we understand, because you are speaking to us in a manner in which we can understand." A lot of times people call me a simple preacher because I'm not trying to impress people with the size of my vocabulary, nor am I trying to impress them with my eloquence. I just want to see people move to the next level in God. That's all I want to do. And the Word of God is the most transformational process that I know of. The Word of God brings change. And so if I can help people to understand the Word of God, I've got a commentary and it describes the book of John like this. It says, "It is a pool of water so shallow that a young child can safely be there, and it is so deep that you can't touch the bottom." Something along that line. It is both so simple and so profound that it will take you all of your life to be able to grasp and understand all of the principles that God has for us. And so I want you to understand. And so that's the goal of this. And Jesus is talking about, we talked yesterday about the joy that was going to be the disciples because of resurrection. That can be manifest in your life by resurrection of broken dreams or resurrections of people who have been lost and they've come back to faith. We recently had a person that we were praying for that we got asked to pray because they had a situation in their body where organs weren't working. And we prayed that night as a church, and the next morning the report came in that all of a sudden the organs had started working again. I believe in resurrection. I've got a child that is dealing with a situation physically where the doctors have told her that there's a portion of her body that isn't functioning the way that it was supposed to. And so in all of the research, we have discovered that there's a particular aspect of that organ. And it says that once this part of that organ dies, that it's just dead. And so for 16 years, we have been proclaiming resurrection to that part of the body because we serve the resurrection and the life. Please do not just relegate resurrection power to that time for eternity. Jesus, when he showed up at Lazarus' grave and Martha and Mary were there, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Okay? And Lazarus came bursting forth out of that out of that situation. So there is resurrection joy. Then we went on and we talked about the joy of bringing life into the world. It says, therefore, this is verse number 20, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. You see, when you and I discover the joy of being a life giver, all of a sudden there is an immunity to theft of joy. That's what's being described here. He said, no one will be able to take your joy from you. The fruit of the Spirit that we are basically going through right now, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that the devil can steal. His power to acquire what God has given, he's not more powerful than God. Okay? And so don't surrender. Don't surrender your love. Don't surrender your joy. Don't surrender your peace. Don't surrender your gentleness or your kindness or your self-control or your patience. Don't surrender any of that sort of stuff, because it is a fruit that comes from abiding in the Holy Spirit. And so I tell you again, if you are not experiencing joy to the level that you want, you need to make sure that you are abiding in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit the way that you are supposed to be, and it will become a natural product because you will be a life giver. And it will not be a joy that the devil can take away because he didn't give it to you. Okay? Verse number 23, he transitions on to another great topic, and it says in verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It goes on and it says, verse number 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So I've got this section titled The Joy of Answered Relational Prayer. The joy of answered relational prayer. Jesus had to remind the disciples, he said, do you realize the Father loves you? Loves you. Not just loves me, but he loves you. And that may be a newsflash for some of the people who are listening right now. And I want to tell you, we've all blown it. We've all missed the mark. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm not here to excuse that. I'm not here to empower that sort of lifestyle. I want to talk to you about the grace of God, that we are saved and equipped so that we do not have to live continually making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Okay? The grace of God is an empowering manifestation from God that equips us to understand that God loves us and it empowers us to be able to love one another. So Jesus said that because he was going to be taken away and then he was going to be restored, that there was going to be a new dimension in their provision from God. No longer was it just going to be God answering the prayers of Jesus. By the way, I will tell you, he is at the right hand of the Father. He's always living and making intercession for you, doing the work of an attorney on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you in accordance with the perfect will of God. Thank God that he's praying for us. But he wants us to understand the importance of our position in relationship and that God the Father wants to answer our prayer. So let me help you with some basic things here. First of all, we pray to the Father. Okay? We pray to the Father. That's, I believe, very clear in scriptures. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? This passage says Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So when we are coming to him, we are coming to him in the name of Jesus. It is the authority of that name. We have the authority to be there because Jesus has given us access to the throne of the Father. And a lot of times we talk about prayer, and when we do, we kind of think of it as this legalistic thing where we have to pray for a certain amount of time or whatever. But in actuality, prayer is just a father-child conversation going on. And I don't even want to put this into a legal conversation where, okay, we're going to have this dialogue here on an extremely formal basis. You know, one time I was praying in a service, and a man came up to me after the service and said, I need to correct you. This wasn't a person I knew well or anything like that. By the way, I will tell you that correction coming from someone that you don't have relationship with, or if you're correcting someone that you don't have relationship with, that's generally not going to go over well. I'll just put that out there. You can chew on that for a while. And so this person came up and they said, I disagreed with the theology of your prayer. And, you know, I'm really not a smart aleck person. Well, sometimes I am. Okay. Maybe I am a bit of a smart aleck. But on this point in time, I wasn't being a smart aleck. I said, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I was praying a prayer for your theological examination. If I had, I would have prayed possibly a little bit differently. But I was talking to my Heavenly Father, and he knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And if I said something, he and I have a relationship where he is able to understand what my heart intends, not to beat me down whether I said something wrong or not. And so I really want to focus on this manifestation, this provision of joy that is available to us because we have access to the Father in the name of Jesus. If I told you today that you had the opportunity to talk to anyone that you wanted, we were going to make your dream come true. You could talk to anybody on the planet for as long as you would like, no holds barred, face to face. Would you get excited about that? I'm not talking about getting into a debate with a person, not getting into a confrontation. I'm talking about you are going to get to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with someone. I think it is Warren Buffett every year auctions off a lunch with him. Okay? Now, what do you think that your chances of winning that auction where you get to sit down with Warren Buffett are? Okay, Warren Buffett is considered by many to be one of the smartest financial minds in America today because he is so wealthy. Okay? So what do you think your odds are of winning that annual auction where you get to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with Warren Buffett? Well, unless you have millions of dollars, your odds are zero because there's a price tag. He does it to raise money. And you know who he's talking with? People who have millions of dollars that they're willing to part with to have a conversation with this man. You and I, Jesus died so that we could have access to the Father. Now listen to what this conversation looks like. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Okay. So because we believe in Jesus, because we believe in his kingdom, because we believe in his mission, the Father loves us. And he said, I am going to give you the same access that I have given to my son. And that is, you can ask for whatever you want. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, here's the thing. When you are in a conversation with the Father, you're going to understand his heart for the lost. It says that he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, I do not believe that that means that whatever our fallen heart wants, that we're going to get, that this is not sugar daddy time. This is not, you know, spoiled brat child time. That he's going to train us up in the family business, and we're coming to him and we're saying, you know, Father, in order for me to accomplish what you want to accomplish through me, I'm going to need this. And Jesus said I could ask you in his name and that you would do it. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And so when we're praying, let's make sure to realize that it's not a contract negotiation. The phrase that has been going through my spirit for some time now is this: the glory belongs to God. The glory belongs to God. And so I want to ask him for provision because I want him to get more glory. It's quite simply that. I want him to get more glory. And so today, what do you need? What do you need from the Father in order to accomplish the dreams, the visions, the goals that he has placed? You were created on purpose for his purpose, created before the foundation of the world. What do you need to help you accomplish that goal? He said, I want to give you that. I want to provide that for you because I don't want you doing the work of the kingdom without joy. Look at what it says. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Okay? So if we start asking with, and I will say this, there are a lot of people who take this passage and they cut it out, they isolate it. They don't apply this principle. Ask and you will receive, that you will receive anything that you want. And so I've literally had conversations with people who took that phrase, completely uprooted it from its context, and said, well, you know what? I want a new car. I want a new house. I want a new blah, blah, blah. And then if they didn't get it, they were miserable. Their first accusation was, well, the promise wasn't true. Well, James tells us that if we ask with wrong motives, if we ask improperly, if we are not doing it the right way, that we're not going to get what, in fact, he said that person should expect to receive nothing from God. But what if we are having a conversation and we say, you know what? Jesus is resurrection. Jesus is causing me to bring life to the world that I have the ability to influence and speak into. And so I have joy on that level. And God, I'm asking you for the words that I need to speak life into these people's lives so that they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus. I need a testimony, God. You said that signs and wonders would accompany the message of this gospel. So I want to thank you, God, and I want to ask you for signs and wonders. And God, you said to ask and you would give the nations for our inheritance, not for our glory, but for yours, God, because you want people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping around the throne room of God. So God, I'm asking you for souls. God, I'm asking you for laborers, that they would be entered into the harvest field, God, because you don't want any of the harvest to rot in the field, God. You want it to be brought in, that it could be processed, that it could be equipped so that the harvest could be even larger next year. There is so much that is there. What do you need from the Father that is going to empower you and motivate you and equip you so that you can do whatever God has asked you to do? Too many times people are paralyzed by fear from even stepping out and doing something. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of what other people are going to think about them. And you know what? I'm much more concerned about having to report to God that I didn't do something than I am about reporting to other people that I did do something, because God's, you know, the disciples said, which is preferable, to obey God or to obey you? You all decide that, but we're going to continue to do what God asks us to. And so whether it is provision, whether it's laborers, whether it's wisdom, whatever it might be, I encourage you to ask of God. Let's realize the joy of our relationship with Him is that we get to go out and do the work of the ministry with joy. It is so much better when the saints are equipped with the joy of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like it. I would say that in all my years of ministry, 2015, for the most part, was one of my favorite years of ministry. Because at the beginning of that year, I said, God, it is just as easy for you to provide financially at the beginning of the year for the works that you have for us than it is for you to provide a slow, steady drip all throughout the year. And so we began to pray and say, God, we're believing for financial provision so that we could do what you have called us to do. And I want you to know, God did it. It was amazing. And so I encourage you, don't be afraid to talk to your Heavenly Father. Ask Him for whatever you need, wisdom, resources, opportunities, open doors, whatever it is, ask Him and watch the joy level of your life increase as He makes the provision. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.